When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and calling all Canadians back to the Bible, because the Bible alone reveals God's way of saving sinners by blood atonement. Ask the guy on the street, do you know about blood atonement? And most likely you will get the long stare. What? Blood and atonement in the same sentence? That's scary stuff. When people follow their own religions or choose to remain as agnostics, not knowing who God is or what God demands, their thinking is a million miles away from what God has revealed in the Bible about his way of saving guilty sinners to reconcile them to himself. The whole concept of blood atonement, which is at the heart of the gospel, is not sourced in human reason, but in divine revelation. It is what God has ordained and what God demands for a guilty sinner to be saved. The great issue at stake in the business of saving sinners is, how may a holy and just God allow a guilty sinner escape the punishment due to his or her sin, and yet remain a righteous, holy God? God cannot merely pass over sin and forget the full rigors of the law. God cannot move an inch from the rule of his law, which is inflexible. A holy God must judge sin, for sin is the transgression of the law. So, God's way of saving sinners is to honor the law by demanding blood atonement. And it took the blood of his own Son, the sinless one, to provide that atonement. Who would have thought that God is so passionate about saving sinners that he would even think to demand the blood of his own Son as payment for sin? Such a thing is unthinkable among the sons and daughters of men. It is beyond our thinking, and so it comes as strange to men who first hear the gospel message. So many people think that if God is love, then it would be easy for him to merely forgive sinners and save them at the click of his fingers. They think that love has nothing to do with justice, and that God need not concern himself about his own holy standard. In fact, I fear they don't even think about these things very much at all. So we need the Bible to teach us God's plan on how he maintains his holy standard of divine justice, while at the same time announce as a judge that a sinner is free from the guilt of the sins he has committed. No earthly judge can do that for murderers, liars, thieves, and adulterers. Hear the theology of the Apostle Paul on this from Romans 3, verses 24 to 26. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, payment for sacrifice, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So, for a sinner to be saved, a Savior must suffer and die in his place. God punishes the substitute and sets the sinner free. God maintains his righteous legal standard and at the same time graciously sets sinners free. Only a God of infinite grace and of infinite wisdom could have devised such a plan. Just as our hymn writer Charles Wesley wrote, "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? 'Tis mystery all, the immortal dies, who can explore his strange design? In vain the firstborn seraph tries to sound the depths of love divine. 'Tis mercy all, let earth adore, let angel minds inquire no more. 'Tis mercy all, let earth adore, let angel minds inquire no more." Only in the Bible will you learn of that great heart of God moving in mercy to plan the cross of Calvary as God's way of saving sinners. All the wrath of God due to men's sin was laid on Jesus, God's Son. He in love bore it all as the Savior of his people. So, to the Bible reader, the mention of Calvary is more than history. It reveals the heartbeat of God moved to save our souls. It is God loving us so much that he planned the cross and gave his Son to die for us. A substitute in our place, a sacrifice to pay the price, a God and Savior full of grace. This is our gospel, God's good news to sinners. And so I give you my Bible challenge to go to the Bible and read of these things. Read John's gospel, which is the narrative of Jesus' life and death. And then go to the book of Romans that gives you the explanation of God in his infinite holiness demanding the blood of his own Son that he might save us in infinite mercy. Read your Bible. It's the only hope that we might know the power of the gospel. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and today we're continuing the evangelist's burden, the message on Psalm 126. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. And I hope that you are involved in the work of sowing the good seed of the gospel. That's what we're doing here on Let the Bible Speak day by day. I hope that you will pray for us, stand with us, and now stay tuned as we come to today's message.
I said at the close of our presbytery meeting this week, in fact, it was so close to the end, I think some of the men had clicked out of the Zoom meeting before I finished the statement, but I wanted to end on the note that I'm glad to be serving in a denomination where every man believes the book, where every man is committed to the doctrines of the gospel. And I can honestly say that anywhere. I am privileged to be in a denomination where I don't have to go to presbytery or Bible conferences and fight for the purity of the gospel. That's not what we're about. We stand together, shoulder to shoulder, with the longing that we might take the pure gospel in its fullness to the hearts of men and women wherever our ministries may take us. And so the evangelist will sift the seed to ensure that it is the pure gospel and that he can certify it and that he can stand upon it. Now, the evangelist is also burdened about the forces that destroy the seed. And of course, the big one in most countries, here in Canada too, is the weather. And every time a farmer sows the seed, and of course it involves fertilizer and fuel for machinery, there's a big investment in all the acreage that they're planting, there is an element of risk. And the risk is that the weather will not help. The rain will not come, or maybe too much rain, or the pests come, or maybe the harvest goes on well for the, or the growing season goes on well, but then the last season, the whole thing doesn't mature and come to fulfillment. These are the things that can destroy. So as the evangelist goes out with the gospel, he has many cares, and that drives him to tears, to weep. Now, when we look at Psalm 126, we can see the big picture. We know the beginning and the end. When we are in God's work, in our communities, in our towns and areas, preaching the gospel, we don't know the end. We don't know what God is going to do with the seed. We don't know what he's going to do with the message. As you knock doors and give people invitations to church, you don't know what God's going to do. And so you're concerned, burdened, that man's depravity will triumph over the invitation. And what does that do? It drives us to prayer. God has to do miracles. God has to enlighten darkened eyes and take away that depravity of heart and break through and work a miracle through the good seed of the gospel. And that's why in our evangelistic work, it's good to have literature or messages that are contain much of the Word of God. Now, I know that God can use testimonies. He can use tracts that have different angles on the gospel. But it's the scriptures, it's the word, it's the light of scripture, because we are born again by the word of God. And therein lies the miracle and the power of God. And so tonight we need that burden. I pray that you have that burden. And I would ask you to pray for souls. Pray for the lost that were with us in our church service this morning. Souls that are out of Christ, that need a miracle of salvation. The church ought to be weeping. Now, how demonstrable should that be? Does it mean that we always stand here in a lineup and we literally shed those tears? That can happen. There have been many prayer meetings that have burst out into tears. If you've never had prayer times, even on your own in your closet, that you have not been brought to tears, where's the burden? Should mothers and fathers not be in tears for their children? Should we not be in tears for the generation growing up that are in bondage to many forms of sin? There is the burden. Now that brings us to the burden for a full harvest. And this burden is translated into a wonderful confidence of rejoicing. And the sower in the midst of the harvest, and he sees what the Lord has done. Now let's read together verses 3 through 6 and get the spirit of the rejoicing that is here. The Lord hath done great things for us. Can you add your amen in there? I can say the Lord has done something great in my life, in my soul, in giving me the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, whereof we are glad. And we are a happy people. We have a song in our hearts. I know at times in the work we become weary. Life can be a drag at times. But in our souls, there's a joy, there's a peace within that lifts our heart. And here again, he is saying, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so we're praying for a full harvest. God's covenant of grace will be fulfilled or executed. Now, I enlarged on that in our morning service. The gospel is a contractual arrangement between God the Father and God the Son. And every elect soul whom the Father has chosen to eternal life and given to the Son, for those people, the Lord Jesus offered atonement on the cross. He bought their redemption. And everyone are called by name. They are known by name. Their names are written in God's book. And every one shall be gathered in. And so, in God's great, big, eternal picture, his church will be gathered in. The harvest will be full. No soul will be lost. In Jude, there is a doxology to this, right in the closing of that little book of Jude. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And in the book of Revelation, you'll find that there are any number of such doxologies where the church is delivered out of the world, and those souls that are redeemed by the blood are brought into the presence of God. And so the promises of God shall be fulfilled. Now, I want you to notice the wonderful promise in verse 6. Now, historically, this relates to God's people in Jerusalem or on their way to Jerusalem after their Babylon exile. But as Bible readers, because every word in the scriptures is written for our learning and for our gain, to you and me tonight, this is a promise. And it's a promise that when we go forth with that precious seed weeping, and it says we shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Now, there's only one condition, and that is that we weep, that we catch the burden. There's nothing done for God without engagement of heart, without a burden of heart. Nothing is done for God glibly. You can't just flight along and say, well, it doesn't really matter, I'll do this or that. No, you've got to have a burden. And the evangelist needs the burden. And his burden is that we might see the Lord's elect, the Lord's redeemed, brought home, brought in. And there is but one condition, that we weep. Now, as I said earlier, I don't think it means every prayer meeting and every gathering of God's people there's going to be an outburst of tears. But we need to be a people with such a love for souls, such a heart for the lost, recognizing where they're headed, and that time is short and opportunities are few, and we need to be compassionate, Christ-like, even as the Lord Jesus, when he saw the multitudes without a shepherd, he had compassion on them. or when he saw Jerusalem, he wept over it. God's people are a happy people, but we're not an emptily giddy people. There's a serious work that God has called us to do. And I want you to notice the promise where God says that when we go forth bearing precious seed, weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Now let us not doubt where the Bible says doubtless. Perhaps our faith is small when it comes to evangelism, and I fear it is. And I know in this pandemic it's not conducive to going around knocking doors and giving out this or that. But there are still ways and means and opportunities for us to witness and invite people to hear the gospel. And the Lord says, he gives us this promise, doubtless, if we are faithful preaching that pure seed of the gospel with a godly burden and passion, with compassion, we shall come again with rejoicing. I'd like to read to you what Mr. Spurgeon said on that point. Yes, good husbandman, doubtless you will gather sheaves from your sowing, because the Lord has written doubtless. Take heed that you do not doubt. No reason for doubt can remain after the Lord has spoken. You will return to this field not to sow, but to reap, not to weep, but to rejoice. And oh, what a wonderful, happy day in the Lord's church when we see souls brought in and lives marvelously changed. I believe tonight the message, Jesus saves more than ever. I believe this gospel works. I've seen it work. I know of new converts of recent days, marvelously, wonderfully saved by the grace of the gospel. But oh, the joy of the great and full harvest. What a day it will be when we see the whole church brought in. It will be a time of great rejoicing. And the Lord can do it suddenly. He can do it in revival suddenly. In communities, in nations and worldwide. There are texts in the book of Isaiah, and I would refer you to the latter part of the book of Isaiah, that talks about the Lord gathering in the nations suddenly. Suddenly. God can do that. You may have seen in our little handout today those lineup of combine harvesters in Manitoba. What a wonderful story of neighborly help, of one farmer's daughter that was injured and hospitalized. That story was in the National Post, by the way. So I'm guilty of stealing the photograph, and I'm guilty of stealing the story, but I put it in my own words. And the story is that this farmer's daughter was injured, and he and his wife needed to be with her. And all the farmers came together with their combine harvesters. And you can see in the picture the big lineup of machines. I got to thinking, how many acres could one of those combine harvesters harvest in a day? I read something from an equipment sales place in Brandon, Manitoba, that they had a combine harvester and they boast that it could combine 200 acres in a 10-hour day. That's 20 acres per hour. And I'm not sure if the operators allowed any lunch or tea breaks. That's a lot of harvesting. And usually they end up, the trucks can't take it fast enough out of the field. And so a field that you would see maybe drive by today and it's white on the harvest, and you drive by a day later, it's all gone, it's harvested. That's sudden. And in the work of the gospel, the Lord can do things suddenly. And in the history of revivals, it has been so. Ministries that were dead and dry and seemingly going nowhere, and the Lord comes in. And if we are faithful sowing with that burden of heart, the Lord promises, doubtless, we shall come again with bringing our sheaves with us. That's great hope. And let us as believers labor in hope, serve the Lord with all our hearts, and do the work of an evangelist. And may this psalm make evangelists of us all. Let's unite in prayer for a moment. Father, we thank thee for this wonderful psalm and for the encouragement, for the praise that came where people were set free from their bondage. Oh Lord, we think of those that are out of Christ tonight. Help us to realize that they are not just walking for a day, but they have eternal souls, that they need the Savior, and they're going to be lost. Oh God, we cry out that you will save in these times. Lord, wilt thou not revive thy church and send thy blessing upon her? Oh, do it, Lord. Do it for your glory. Use us, O God, in your kingdom work, even to sow a little seed here and there, and that we might be your instruments to gather in your church. Remember the work of God around the world. Remember our missionaries and the many gospel missionaries in many places. O Lord, speed the day when every ear will hear the name of Jesus. And now we ask your blessing upon us and upon the week to come, that you will keep us and use us, be with us. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your people now.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.